Hey there, you're listening to the Conservation Spotlight, which is a regular segment of the Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming at kmuz.org. This is where we shine a light on partnerships and programs that can serve our beautiful natural resources right here in Marion County. Today, we're illuminating our Marion Soil and Water Conservation mission of conserving soil, water, and natural resources for both urban and agricultural audiences with a wonderful guest from Oregon Department of Agriculture. I am your host, Jenny Ammon, who is a natural resource educator with the Marion SWCD. And our special guest today is Joel Price. He is the biological control entomologist from the Oregon Department of Agriculture Noxious Weed Program. We get to cover the scope of ODA, or Oregon Department of Agriculture's Noxious Weed Control Program, which is a mouthful. I'm having a great time saying that. We're also going to talk about invasive species, what they are, how they impact our ecosystem. And we are going to talk about tansy, which if you follow our social media, Marion Soil and Water Conservation District on Facebook, you'll notice every week in May, we are going to be talking tansy. And we're going to be talking about specifically how to control it. Joel, maybe touch base on some of the biocontrols for tansy and how you, as the listener, can help in the ongoing battle during Invasive Species Awareness Week, which is the third week in May, which is when you're listening to this. So have you ever wondered what it's like battling noxious weeds of Oregon while you're working, playing, and enjoying the great outdoors? Well, I have. And today we are going to talk with Joel, who's the biological control entomologist with ODA in the Noxious Weed Program. So welcome. And Joel, how are you doing today?
Great. I'm excited at spring and things are growing like crazy. Oregon's Weed Awareness Week is coming up on the 16th. So I'm also excited to be getting the word out about invasive plants.
I love it. Can I ask you if you have bought any garden plants?
Yeah, I have a problem with plants, an addiction, one might say. So I buy plants every year. I harvest seed every year of my own plants. I'm constantly planting.
I think we need a little field tour, Joel. I want to jump in. One of the things that I think is really interesting is when we get to have our special guests on the program, to tell us a little bit about your background. How did you get to work for the Department of Agriculture? And
so I have a master's degree from the University of Idaho in entomology. I've worked in weeds for the last 10 years, starting in Idaho with my graduate work. And then I moved to Colorado, working for their Department of Agriculture for the state. And finally, very similarly here in Oregon, working for the Department of Agriculture since 2017. So I've worked primarily on the control of Canada thistle and Russian knapweed. But my current focus, as of last year, is really collaborating with OSU, Oregon State University, on newly introduced knotweed and gorse control insects.
Now, I have a follow-up. So did you see, if you were in Idaho, Colorado, and Oregon working for ODA, invasive species can run the gamut. So in the Midwest, where I grew up, it was garlic mustard, and we had vetch, multifloral rose, and then when I moved out here 5 years ago, it was a whole new slew of invasive species to learn. Are you finding that there's some overlap in the three states you worked in?
There is. There is a lot of overlap. There's at least in the semi-arid west and the Rocky Mountain West, you get a lot of knapweeds, skeleton weed, invasive annual grasses. All those things are sweeping across the landscape of the Western U.S. on a larger scale. I would say something that makes it unique here is we just have so many beautiful weeds that are really escaped ornamentals. You know, the nursery trade has done very well here for a long time. So one thing that makes at least Western Oregon a little different from all those other states is we have some really beautiful noxious weeds to work on in some really beautiful areas.
Well, thanks for your background. That sounds pretty amazing. I think spending 10 years in positions is pretty fantastic. I want to question just a little bit about your role at the Department of Agriculture here in Oregon and about the Noxious Weed Control Program. Can you give us a little bit more detail on your role there in the weed program?
Yeah, so once again, another mouthful, but I am the biological control entomologist focused on invasive plants. So we have somebody that focuses on invasive insects. So I'm on the plant side, and my role covers the entire state of Oregon. I just want to back up a little bit and to introduce what I do. Biological control is selecting a target weed, finding its biggest natural enemy in the native range it escaped from by coming here, and then testing that biocontrol agent for safety, getting a permit, and then distributing it across the whole invaded range. So I end up doing a lot of monitoring of the impact of those introduced agents. And specifically working for Oregon, I work actually a lot more with neighboring states for import and export of those agents, which could be insects, mites, pathogens. And in representing Oregon, I interact with a group of roughly 200 international researchers and practitioners in our global efforts to prevent and control the spread of invasive plants and insect pests. So,
wow.
I assist primarily large land managers with vast acreages that are prone to infestations where other forms of treatment, they're prohibited, basically. So I work a lot with the U.S. Forest Service, BLM, USDA, parks, forestry, all those. So long story short, ODA invests pennies into preventing the spread of invasive weeds using biocontrol. And then I'm able to save stacks of cash in agricultural production throughout the state and the West by creating more productive land with less time diverted to spraying weeds.
Wow, Joel, that is a lot. I know there's no joke when you talk about what preventative measures you're taking in the studies and the reach, because we spend millions of dollars fighting invasives. You talk about spraying. Do you remember the acronym, the EDRR?
Yes.
That's what you're talking about when you're talking about spending pennies at the front end.
Yeah, that's right. The most effective way to combat an invasive species, as far as time and money spent, is to get it early. So, for example, we have a Turkish thistle here in Oregon, and it was found just a couple years ago. It's the only place that it's been found in North America. So if we in the state of Oregon do our duty and eradicate that weed, it's going to save both the rest of Oregon, because it's really only found in one or two counties. It's going to save the rest of Oregon and the rest of the U.S. countless dollars on controlling it down the line should we ignore it.
And that was just a few years ago that thistle was found. So that early detection and rapid response is something that it's really great to partner with ODA as a soil and water conservation district, along with, you mentioned, parks, because park users are fantastic at observation. Well, I was hoping to jump in and talk to you a little bit more about invasives specifically. We have a wonderful employee, Jenny Meisel, who's been with us for over 13 years as our native and invasive plant specialist. And she works with private landowners to assist them with identification. So if you see something, you're like, I have no idea what gorse is, because you mentioned gorse earlier. I'm wondering if people know what that looks like. Well, they can call in to the SWCD and have it identified. Or if they want to treat, they know they have invasives and they want to treat, they can hook up with their local SWCD. You said larger land managers, which is also, we serve that group as well. How do you partner with SWCDs? How does that work with your position as the biological entomologist?
Yeah, so our state program gets to work and have great working relationships with all of these weed warrior groups from those federal agencies, tribes, counties, nonprofits, you name it. In many cases, we end up being the glue in the middle that kind of holds that larger and smaller groups together, that line of communication. So the SWCDs work in a smaller range that maybe there's a plant coming in from another area or another state that they're not aware of. We're able to work together and communicate that. Because the Willamette Valley is inland, a lot of our targets here, like Scotch Broom or Tansy, are kind of older projects. So for my job specifically as a biocontrol entomologist, a lot of the agents here are already widespread. So I do work with Jenny from time to time and really enjoy it. But a lot of our work with SWCDs ends up in areas like Wallawa County, Tillamook County, or Josephine counties, where new invaders are coming in from neighboring states or ports. Also, ODA's noxious weed staff administer a longstanding and really substantial grant program that groups like SWCDs apply to. Mm-hmm. And we're involved in the consultation, review, monitoring, all of that. And we award over $3 million per biennium for noxious weed work for these groups.
I love that. You see so much more, those connections and the fact that you're watching things move. So I was just hoping you could give the listeners a little bit more information on Tansy biocontrol, as well as the species you opened up with at the beginning of the program. So gorse and knapweed, some of the control measures that you use currently for those species.
As an entomologist, primarily I'm using insects to control knapweeds, knotweed, gorse, all of these things. We use seed feeding insects, leaf defoliators, root miners, basically attacking every stage of the plant from the flower down to the roots. That's what makes a successful biological control program. So some of them were focused, like for the knapweeds, for example, we're focused there on new infestations. So we've had a lot of wildfires in Oregon last year specifically. A lot of that is now bare ground where things like knapweeds can show up. Our biocontrols will follow them across the landscape and start limiting their seed production again. But in the short term, if we'd like to have the agents there immediately and get right to work, that's where I come in, collecting and redistributing to these new patches that show up following a major disturbance like wildfire.
But the invasive species really is kind of that next thing to come, as they are pioneer species for the most part. So to be honest with you, if someone were to ask you, and they have no background, so I'm sure there's some listeners that maybe are like, I don't even know what these plants look like. We're a big fan of sharing resources. I know we have an invasive species page with great photos. Do you have other resources that people could, while they're listening, be Googling to kind of get an idea of these plants, so our invasive species of Oregon?
There's a lot of websites when you start Googling that are dedicated to these. So if you go to the Oregon Department of Agriculture homepage and you go to the plant protection and the noxious weed program, we have a list of profiles of all of these weeds with maps of where they exist in the state now, where they've existed historically, a lot of information about each of these noxious weeds that are on our list, the state noxious weed list. And then after that, there is a biological control webpage also at ODA dedicated with, once again, a profile for each of our noxious weed species agents. So we work with about 70 different insects, mites, and pathogens. So they all have online profiles that you can see photos and read information about.
Well, that's fantastic. And I just want to stop a minute and let you know that you're listening to the Conservation Spotlight, which is a regular segment of the Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming on kmuz.org. So listeners, at the beginning, we talked about the week of May 16th being an invasive plant week, and that's not only here in Oregon, but I'm fairly certain it just got to become National Invasive Weed Week. Is that true, Joel?
Well, I know that here in the state of Oregon, at least, Governor Brown has declared the week of the 16th as Noxious Weed Awareness Week.
But we now have a week where we can get overly educated on our noxious weeds. I would love for folks to make time to do that week, because like you said, this is an older infestation. Tansy hasn't go away, and there's different plant cycles. So right before we talk about any type of treatment, we want to know about the plant's biology. So this time of year in May is a good time to get after this plant. And Joel, you fill us in why it's a good time to start controlling if you have it on your land, whether you're a farmer or a small urban landowner.
Most of our noxious weeds, number one, emerge very early in the spring and get active quickly. You know, they're maybe more frost tolerant or what have you. So they're going to be trying to take advantage right now, growing faster than the competing plants. So a lot of the advantage that they enjoy later in the year, they're gaining today. So spraying or treating, whatever form you do now, is going to be better. The plant is very active now, so any losses is going to be more impactful versus trying to spray later in the year, maybe midsummer, when the plant is largely dormant. It's not going to be as receptive to treatment, and a lot of the damage will have already been done as far as outcompeting other plants, using water, nutrients, and already going to seed. So with tansy, people are kind of reactive. So they will respond to complaints from a neighbor about all of that tansy blooming. They go out there and they mow. Well, oftentimes it's already gone to seed and they're just spreading the seed, creating more of a biennial plant, and not really doing much good other than they are taking some action. But acting early in the season is going to get you better results.
That makes a lot of sense. So last year, I will tell you, mostly because I wasn't driving back and forth to work, but we were outside and we hadn't noticed before, mostly because we were busy doing life, but we noticed the cinnabar moths in huge numbers. Did you have, as somebody who hadn't seen them before, again, coming from Iowa, did you get a lot of folks calling in or emailing, or have you observed the ebbs and flows of the population of that cinnabar moth, and maybe tell folks what that cinnabar moth comes from?
So the cinnabar moth is kind of the mascot of our noxious weed program here. And they were imported in the 60s and 70s to Oregon to take care of tansy. And they really exploded at that time because there were just vast fields of tansy. Now it's been long enough that it is reaching that ecological equilibrium where it ebbs and flows, depends year to year, whatever the climate is doing that year. Sometimes their populations are up, sometimes they're down. Right now, for example, if I go outside right now, I see cinnabar moths, those beautiful little tiger moths that are red and black flying around. So it's looking like it's going to be a good year, which is no surprise that the moth would have a great year following all the food it had available to it last year to build up population on. So we see in our natural settings, like in maybe a nature park, for example, one we monitor up in Portland, that there can be major swings in the population of tansy, and then following that, the three biocontrol agents that we have that attack it. So if you study that long-term and you get an average, it keeps it well under control. But every year is a different story. So yeah, you do get flare-ups, but in a year like this, we should see it start crashing back down.
Pretty interesting. I like that you call it the mascot. So invasive species threaten and take over, since they're early and aggressive, take over some of the habitat for natives or, you know, our agricultural crops. So do these critters also threaten then native insects and our other diversity?
Yeah, so there's actually fairly little interplay because noxious weeds tend to create large monocultures. you also get kind of an ecological dead zone there. You do get some insects and spiders and things coming into those patches of weeds. But oftentimes, there's not much interplay there. They're kind of a world unto their own. So when we introduce these biocontrol agents, they are very host specific. So over time, the rules have gotten, list has gotten longer and longer. Basically, as we emphasize as a society, safety more and more, because we don't want to see non-target impacts where one of our agents would ever do anything other than what we intended it to do. And that's where a lot of our land grant universities come in. They study these things for years and years, sometimes well over a decade, in order to get the permits required to release. So they will go as far as even cutting the antennae off of a weevil, plugging it into a machine, and measuring the electrical response in the sensory organs to any kind of volatile organic compound coming off of a strawberry leaf, or you name it. So basically, we study the physiology at a level of, can this bug even see that that other plant exists? Or is it so evolved that it only can see the thing that it really wants to eat? So that's the things that we use as our agents, something that is what is called host specific. And then, just as part of our due diligence, we do follow up for years and years to come out in the wild, just making sure that we don't see that insect of ours showing up places it shouldn't be. And we have an incredible track record for safety on that.
That's fantastic. That story right there got me really excited. I hope the listeners were like, ooh, Joel, tell us more. That is fantastic. I think those kind of studies and that kind of diligence speaks loudly for Oregon State University and the Department of Agriculture. So I'm clapping. Since we have a few more minutes left, I have to ask you something else, and this is totally not related, but you have got to have some favorite insects. You have to have at least a favorite, or one that you know you've been studying for so long, it has a special place in your heart. Can you tell us about that?
As an entomologist, you know, we sometimes begin to cringe when we see ladybugs and dragonflies, you know, on posters and everywhere in our society. A lot of real, not to judge, entomologists love Coleoptera, which is beetles. There's such a big diversity of beetles. So many of them are actually beautiful. So if I had to pick a favorite insect, it would probably be just the entire group of rhinoceros beetles. They're big, they're bulky, they got horns, and they're clumsy but strong with personality. I could go on all day. Rhinoceros beetles, hands down, my favorite.
Ah, awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I love it. And the reason he was cringing was about the ladybugs and the dragonflies is because they eat other insects. I want the listeners to kind of go away, and I'm going to call it a call to action, but I think we all have something we can do, whether it's being more educated by asking questions or going outside of our comfort zone to listen to things like this or whatever it might be. But I'm going to call them battle buddies fighting against some of our invasive and noxious plant species. So how can folks, if they want to heed a call to action, how can they be our battle buddies?
The first thing that you can do is just control noxious weeds and know that it's your responsibility as a landowner and as a good neighbor to take care of the land that you oversee. So, you know, these things cross borders like crazy. You can start on your property. If it's overwhelming, you can grid it out and then start year by year in one corner and work your way. And then once you have your property, the place you want it, I'm not sure we ever do, but then you can also reach out and support your neighbors and help educate them in a kind way. And then also reach out, maybe contact your community leaders and see what can be done at a city, county, state, national level to support noxious weed control and programs like ours that kind of glue all of this together, because these invasions are happening on a worldwide, national scale, all of that. And it's important that we raise our voices and join together, because it is a big battle, but a little bit of work now can save a lot down the road. So it's an important work that we do.
Bake your neighbor a Marionberry pie, work together, educate yourselves. Yes, we want to make sure we're helping out on the large scheme. I can tell you the city of Salem has a ton of different organizations that are private that do invasive species removal. Granted, it might look a little different now with the 6 feet rule and sharing equipment, but yeah, start where you are, start on your land. Thanks, Joel, that was awesome. What else did you want to share? Any other thoughts you'd like our listening audience to know?
I guess I wanted to just emphasize that these things are important to our ecology here in Oregon, to our natural resources. I think we as people growing up in school saw ecology as being damaged by, you know, factory pipes dumping pollution or bulldozing the rainforest. That's the imagery that we're used to, these overt human-driven threats. But really, a lot of the habitat loss that is going on out there is due to these invasive species, specifically in this case, plants, that are pushing out all of our native plants, changing the entire ecosystem at a rate that our native organisms can't keep up with in large part. And so if you're worried about other forms of ecological damage, maybe wildfires or deforestation, whatever, you need to also consider invasive species and that kind of ecosystem threat that is going on specifically here in Oregon, where we have so much to protect and so much to be grateful for.
Some of the most beautiful plants I've ever seen are native Oregon plants, plants that can grow full shade, beautiful Oregon iris, the fawn lilies. These gems in ecosystems across the state are wonderful, and he's completely right. I think we all have a role to play, and I'm ready for the invitation. I know it's something we take pretty seriously, and every March we host a native plant sale. So if you're wondering where to get your plants, you can always contact SWCDs. They host native plant sales, some in the fall, some in the spring, and do your part and learn more and then get to work. I think you have a ton more to say, and a half hour doesn't cover it. And I want to make sure people know that the resources that he spoke about, the ODA website, I'll put that on our page, our event page underneath the podcast. And his information, I'm sure, will be on there. Is your email up on your ODA website?
Yes. Yes. My contact information is on the website.
Wonderful. And Jenny Meisels is on ours. So if you're local in Marion County and you have questions on native or invasives, you can look her up on our website as well. So I've been talking with Joel Price, the biological control entomologist with ODA, about invasive species controls and all sorts of other awesomeness, and rhinoceros beetles, his favorite insect. And I'm your host, Jenny Ammon, natural resource educator for Marion Soil and Water Conservation District, wanting to thank you as listeners for the few minutes we got to share. We're grateful for a community of conservation-minded folks who know the importance of partnerships. And if you'd like more information about this topic, we can send out that link on our website. So visit marionswcd.net. And our Facebook page, too, we'll post that up in the third week of May. So we have Lunch and Learns coming up, too. So June and July are our next ones. We're hosting Karen Hans, who's the STEP bio for Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. She's going to talk about our local and native fish in the region. And then we're going to talk more about invasive aquatic plants on the first Wednesday in July with Beth Meyer-Shanai, who also works for ODA. So if you like what you've heard here on the Conservation Spotlight, tune in on the third Wednesday of every month to KMUZ 100.7 or 88.5 on the Willamette Wake Up. Thanks for listening and sharing your light.